My name's Daphne.
And I'm Gail.
And we're your hosts of That's Disturbing. Now, hopefully this audio isn't too rough. This is our first go at it. We're mother and daughter, and we love all things true crime and spooky and mysteries. And if it makes you stay awake at night, that's our cup of tea, basically.
Right. If it raises the hair on the back of your neck and makes you look under the bed, we're in.
Yeah, pretty much. So this is our first recording episode. Not sure if this is going to be the first one that we're going to post, but this is our first episode that we're recording. And today we're going to be talking about the true story of Annabelle. So if you're familiar with the Conjuring universe, you've probably seen the Annabelle movies, have heard about Ed and Lorraine Warren. And we're not going to get so much into the Annabelle movie today or any of those movies. But what I do want to talk about is the true story, the scary story, the actually, like, horrifically scary, demonic story behind Annabelle. So Annabelle, as she's portrayed in the motion picture, is nothing like she is in real life. Annabelle was really a Raggedy Ann doll with red yarn for her hair, which those things, you know, you don't think about it. They look so innocent, right?
As a Raggedy Ann doll does look innocent. And right. Has yarn for hair.
Exactly. They just look super innocent. Like, how would you even know that that's demonic?
Right.
So we have Donna, who is turning 28, and her mom purchased the doll for her at a hobby store in 1970 for her birthday. Donna loved dolls.
Okay,
all
wait.
All things dolls.
So when you say a hobby store, was it like brand new or was it like used?
I'm not sure. Couldn't find that. Everything it just said was a hobby store.
Okay.
So I'm assuming probably new because they were probably newer in the 1970s, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, you weren't around then either. I guess that would have been one thing to look up when Raggedy Ann was created when she came out.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, the doll was purchased for Donna's birthday. And Donna was a nursing student. Well, some reports said she was a nursing student, and other reports just said that she was a nurse.
A nursing student?
Why do you do this to me? Now we're going to have to start all over.
No, just let me criticize you.
Because I can't English. I can never English.
Just let me criticize your verbiage. It's fine. Keep
yeah,
going.
Right? I just don't English. It's cool.
It's whatever.
I'm a little nervous for the first episode, guys.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so she was a nursing student or a nurse, again, conflicting reports. And she lived with her roommate, Angie, who also, conflicting reports, may or may not have been a nursing student or a nurse, but they're somewhere in that field.
Wow.
So Donna and Angie, obviously, just thought nothing of it. It's a regular doll, nothing crazy. They displayed it on their living room couch as decoration to greet their visitors.
Okay, hey, wait, can I ask you a question? So her mom bought her the doll and she was 28 years old.
She had an obsession with dolls. I think I said that.
Okay.
That she loved dolls.
Okay. But I was just trying to wonder.
Now it's my turn to insult your verbiages.
So I was wondering if she was 28 when she was given the doll by her mom.
Yeah, it was for her 28th birthday.
Oh, duh. You said that. I'm sorry.
I did say that. Start focusing. It's also like 7 o'clock at night and my mom is an early bird. And so this is real late for her while we're recording this. But I'm a student, so not a nursing student, just a regular student. So this is when we get to record. So yeah, like I said, they had it displayed on their living room couch as decoration to greet their visitors. And then Donna started coming home, and her bedroom door would be shut with the doll on her bed.
Oh, and that's super creepy.
Yeah, so she didn't know if somebody was playing a practical joke on her, what was happening. But that kept up for a while. That persisted for a little bit. And then they started coming home to her moved about the entire apartment. So not just to Donna's bedroom, but in various locations. And then eventually it picked up a little bit more, and they'd find her with, like, her legs crossed or her arms in different positions when she was last seated in. Oh. Yeah. Real weird. I know. Don't like it.
Yeah, super creepy. I would not like that either.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be my first sign to, like, burn the doll.
Right. Like, that would be out.
Get rid of it.
Right.
ASAP.
Right.
Burn it.
Burn it. Give it to someone you hate.
Yeah. Bye. Bye, fucker.
Bye, bitch.
Bye-bye, fucker. All right. Anyway. So, yeah. Move about the entire apartment. And then they began finding messages on parchment paper in their house written on written with crayons. And these messages would say stuff like, help Lou, or help me, help us. And so a couple things that are strange about this.
Besides the obvious?
They didn't own parchment paper or crayons.
Okay. And the doll is writing the notes, maybe?
Yeah.
Someone's writing the notes.
Also super strange.
Right.
Also really disturbing.
Right.
Like that's disturbing.
Right. Super, super disturbing.
Right. So, Lou, again, conflicting reports, was either Angie's boyfriend or one of their friends. So, not really sure which one it is, if he was just a friend or if he was Angie's boyfriend. But he claims from the very jump that he didn't like her. That he did not like Annabelle. He had a dark feeling about the doll. This was before the moving began, the leg crossing, the doors being shut. Like, that was before all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, nope, I don't like this doll. There's something weird about it. Like, he was obviously quite in tune.
Right.
Before anything even started.
Right.
Yeah, because he didn't like her.
Yeah, well, it's for obvious reasons.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, with all these strange occurrences, obviously, they thought somebody was playing a practical joke on them. Right. They didn't know any differently.
Right. Well, because for sure you wouldn't be like, oh, the doll is haunted. Oh, the doll is possessed. Like, that wouldn't be my first thought, although...
I feel like with all the stuff we watch, it might be mine.
It might be, but...
But I guess if you're not in tune or, like, aware of these things... Like, it's not like back then there was mass media and everybody talks about haunted dolls.
It was the 70s, right?
Yeah, but
there
I mean,
mass media in the 1970s.
Not social media.
Not social media, but
I guess
mass
I should
media.
Know I'm in a history of advertising class. There right. was definitely mass media.
There you go. But, I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like my first thought wouldn't be, like, the doll's doing it herself. But that being said, either way, I'd be fucking freaked out because I'd be like, either somebody's breaking into our fucking apartment while we're not here and doing this shit, which would be terrifying in and of itself, or it's a fucking doll, which is... also terrifying.
Yeah, I don't know which I'd be more scared of.
Right, so either scenario is not a good one.
Right.
Right. But since the boyfriend had, like, an intuition about the doll, or the friend or whatever, I feel, I don't know, I think I would be, like, more inclined to be, like, that doll's gotta go.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. he didn't like her in the first place.
Right. But obviously, since you got this whole story, the doll does not go.
The doll does not go.
Right.
Way to read ahead.
Not bad.
Way to peek at my notes. So, one day, Lou was the only one in the apartment, and then he heard some strange noises in Donna's room, as if there was an intruder this day. And so, Lou found no signs of forced entry, but he found Annabelle lying face down on the floor. Oof. And then, other versions say, so again, none of these are... reportedly, like, you can't find the clear source, like, which one's true, which one's not, you know.
Right.
There's sources on just about everything under the sun regarding this case.
Right, I'm sure.
And obviously the naysayers as well.
Right.
So, another version says that he was attacked when he woke up from a nap. And...
isn't that, like, in the movie? Not that I'm bringing that up.
But I don't know. I should have watched it for research purposes.
No, it's okay. I just feel like I remember that.
That's like instead of reading a book, you watch the movie.
Right.
It's fine, though.
It's whatever.
Hopefully none of my previous teachers are ever listening to this podcast.
Right. Or if they are, she would have never done that. She totally would have read the books.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Always reading.
Yes.
So... Lou was the first one to have a negative demonic experience with the doll. So, some stories say that Lou woke up in a state of sleep paralysis. So sleep paralysis, that's being conscious but being unable to move or speak. And some people, while they're in a state of sleep paralysis, they also feel pressure or a sensation of choking. So if it happens while you're falling asleep, that's called predormital sleep paralysis. And if it happens when you're waking up, that's called postdormital sleep paralysis. So it often occurs in people with narcolepsy or sleep apnea, but it really can affect anybody. Like, there's very many things that can affect it. However, nobody really knows what causes the sleep paralysis. Like, right. There's no studies that can actually prove point blank period, like, what happens.
Right.
Like, and why it happens.
I've had sleep paralysis a couple times, just been like super scared as hell. And I don't have narcolepsy or sleep apnea, but I've just had like a super bad dream. And then like you wake up and you feel like somebody's staring at you or somebody's watching you or someone's like literally in my bedroom doorway and I cannot move. Or like the time that you and I were staying at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, the Shining Hotel, and we were going to get up and like do ghosty stuff in the middle of the night and the piano was playing and stuff. And you were like, come on, mama, let's get up, let's go. And I was like, I can't move. And there's somebody in that chair staring at us. And like, I couldn't move, you know? But I mean, it took me a couple of minutes to like articulate to you that I couldn't move. But I just remember being like frozen.
Yeah, I was bugging her to get up and go. And she just like, she was faking being asleep. Nope. That's the real story here.
Yeah, okay.
No, but that was weird because then the next day we found out that there was nobody downstairs playing the piano.
Right.
And the ghost of the first owner, his wife, she likes to play the piano at all hours of the day and night. And it's guarded off, like it's roped off, like nobody can get to the piano. Right. And so that's just extra weird and creepy.
So, any hoodles, back to your story of Annabelle and sleep paralysis.
Yeah, so sleep paralysis, it usually lasts a minute or two. And as we've discussed, some people experience really frightening visions. Some people have reported seeing figures in their room, something crawling on the ceiling or on top of them. Again, we don't know if it's caused by hallucinations or some real creepy shit.
Right? Sounds creepy. Either way.
He saw Annabelle in a state of sleep paralysis. She was started at the foot of his bed. And then,
wait, so he was in a state of sleep paralysis or the doll was?
No, he was.
Okay.
No, he saw Annabelle.
Okay.
And again, this is not confirmed nor denied. Right. But he saw her and she began crawling from the foot of the bed up his body and began to choke him. Ooh. And he passed out from the experience.
So that's like some poltergeist shit with that clown.
Yeah, that's some...
That clown doll.
That's some doll on roids, that's for sure.
Yeah, no shit. A cotton stuffed doll can choke you until you pass out.
Right.
Yeah, that's some serious strength.
Yeah, scary.
Right.
So, it's also said that Lou threw the doll while trying to convince himself and the girls that the doll wasn't real and couldn't hurt him. And then he felt really tight in his chest immediately after he did this. And then he looked down, and he found scratches appearing on his chest and on his shoulders.
Ooh, like, right in front of them?
Like, yeah, like
they watched it happening?
Yeah, like it just started happening when he looked down. Oof, and then they just vanished 2 days later, like they were never on his body.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, right?
Fuck that doll.
Yeah, get rid of the doll.
Right.
So...
Or if they're not going to get rid of it, never go back to that apartment.
Right. Yeah, basically.
Right. You break up with Lou. Lou breaks up with Donna. Friendship, girlfriend, whatever.
Bye. So, then one day, Donna found blood on Annabelle's hands. And we don't know if all of this happened before or after the medium was called. Also, that's part of this, is that somewhere in these events transcends a medium coming to the apartment to do a seance with the girls.
Oof, I wouldn't and, do that.
Yeah, no, it sounds pretty bad. Right? Sounds like a terrible idea, right? Honestly.
Like, that would not be my first thought. Again, yeah. Get rid of the doll.
Yeah.
Would be my first
thought. Yeah, kick it to the curb.
Right?
Burn it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know why you would invite somebody in to right. see if the doll's really doing it or not.
Like on Supernatural, how they throw salt and then they burn the bones. What do they do? Salt and holy water? And burn, or is it just salt?
I think it's just salt and burn the bones.
Yeah.
But...
Or, like, keep some holy water near it.
Well, and if you know that these things, like, just started when you brought that doll into the house, obviously you know your apartment's not haunted. Like, coincidentally, you got this doll and all of a sudden this stuff starts happening. Like, yeah, no medium. No thank you. No medium, right. No well done. Bye, Annabelle.
Yeah. Bye, Raggedy Ann.
Right?
So, after conducting the seance... The medium said that there was a spirit inside of the doll of a 7-year-old girl named Annabelle Higgins. So, Annabelle shared with the medium that she lived on the property before and had passed away. Her body was actually found when the apartments were being built.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
So, theoretically, they could have got rid of that doll and then still, she would have still been haunting the place.
Right.
Right. Weird yeah. that she, like, waited until she... could attach to that doll. So that's really weird.
Yeah.
And like what year was that? Do you know what year she died?
It didn't say. There wasn't reported what year she died. Okay. It just said that they found her on the property or that, again, this whole conflicting reports thing. I don't know if they actually found this girl's body or if she just told the medium, I died here and they found my body.
Or the medium's just making it up.
Right.
Because some of them are crackheads.
Yeah, right.
They just take your money.
Yeah, that's very true.
Right.
It's not like anybody would have any way of knowing any differently.
Right, exactly.
It's not like there was the internet back then.
Right.
But even still with the internet today, I don't know if she was a real girl or not.
Right. That's fair.
So, through this medium, they determined that Annabelle was a benevolent spirit of a child, of a 7-year-old. And she just wanted to be cared for and adored. So, she gained... the two girls' sympathy, and they let her stay in the doll. Oof. Yeah. Yeah, they just felt sorry for her. They began grieving with the medium and let her stay in the doll.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah, they gave her permission.
Well, that's so weird.
To stay in the doll permanently.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Like, why would you do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't wrap my brain around that.
Right? Did they not know about demonic possession in the 70s?
Yeah. And, like... Okay, so say that the medium. Okay, so say the medium's not full of shit, and she actually is connecting with some kind of spirit. What if it's a super bad spirit, and it's not really a little 7-year-old girl named Annabelle, and it's like a bad spirit pretending to be a little 7-year-old girl named Annabelle?
Yeah.
So all kinds of things where I would not be like, yeah, sure, it's cool, you can stay, it's whatever. Live in my doll, in my apartment. Yeah, no. Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that.
Pretty much.
That's basically it. Fuck that.
Right?
So, after more strange occurrences happening after they told the doll, or told the spirit that she could stay within the doll,
mm-hmm.
They were like, nah, fuck this. And they called a priest, an Episcopal priest, named Father Hegan. So, Father Hegan was like, nah, fuck this.
Exactly, and in those words, verbatim, as a priest usually would say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he'd say probably not, but like,
okay.
Like, I don't want to deal with this. Perhaps this should go to a higher level priest than myself. So I'm going to call in Father Cook to help with this situation. That's probably more along the lines of what was said.
Okay, gotcha.
But then Father Cook decided to call Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Hmm. Enter the Warrens. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So, but then, back to Father Cook. He was ordered to perform an exorcism on the apartment. So then, this is according to the Warrens. This is their story. This is the only story that's ever been...
corroborated.
By each other.
Right. Like, by more than just yeah. one person. Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll circle back around to all of that as well.
Okay.
So, according to the Warrens, they believe that the trouble began with the girls when they started showing sympathy for the doll. Okay?
Yeah, no, so, no, I got you. That's why I'm saying it's probably, like, not even like, a 7-year-old girl named
I feel
Annabelle.
Like the trouble super... started with Lou. Like, that's when the trouble really began.
Well, that's fair.
because not, you know, with the girl showing sympathy, with Lou.
Yeah,
that's okay. Where I'm like, what the hell, Ed and Lorraine Warren? You think it started there? How about the guy who got choked out by a doll?
And or scratched.
Yeah. Yeah, and or scratched. But see, that report seemed the most consistent.
Okay.
That he did get scratched. We just don't know when and how the situation took place.
Okay.
But that he did get scratched. I saw that in multiple reports.
Yeah, so for sure it started before. You're right. Fair. 100%. Yeah.
So the Warren said that the doll, the spirit within the doll, was a demonic presence that was in search of a human host, but resided within the doll until it could get a human host.
Ooh, I don't like that.
No, I don't like that either. So, this is a direct quote by the Warrens. I don't know which one of them said it, but spirits do not possess inanimate objects like houses or toys. They possess people. An inhuman spirit can attach itself to a place or object, and this is what occurred in the Annabelle case. The spirit manipulated the doll and created the illusion of being alive in order to get recognition. Truly, there was not a spirit looking to stay attached to the doll. It was always looking to possess a human host. Oof. Yeah.
Okay, so then why...
Creepy.
Yeah, but then why didn't the doll possess a person? I mean, why didn't the spirit of the 7-year-old girl... Assuming it is a 7-year-old girl, which I feel like it isn't. I feel like it's just pretending to be a 7-year-old girl.
Right.
But then why didn't that spirit just possess a person instead of going into the doll?
I think because, like, everything, you know, you and I have seen, and for our audience out there, that they always say that, like, when you're the most weak and you're the most vulnerable and you're in, like, the lowest, deepest, darkest place you could be, at your most vulnerable state, I mean, I'm talking like mental health, emotionally,
mm-hmm.
That's when they break you down, basically. Not the demon. The demon isn't what's breaking you down. You know, the world, whatever, yourself is breaking you down situationally, whatever it may be.
Right.
And that you come to this point of bargaining with yourself, and that's when the demon comes in and is like, oh, we can fix all of this.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Creepy.
Yeah, super creepy.
Really scary.
Yeah.
Actually, very scary.
Yeah, I feel like that was a leap. However.
Yeah.
It's super not good.
Yeah, super not good.
Right.
Super not good. So, the signs that they were shown through Annabelle that made them believe that this was demonic possession, not a 7-year-old girl, were the signs of teleportation. So, the doll moving on its own.
Right.
Materialization, which was the parchment paper notes and the crayons that the girls didn't even have in the apartment.
I forgot about that. That's so scary. That made the hair stand up on the back of my neck.
Yeah.
We're going to have to sage this room.
Yeah. We're going to have to sage ourselves, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
And then the mark of the beast, which was Lou's chest being scratched.
Oof.
Yeah, I don't like that they call it the mark of the beast.
Yeah, I don't either, because that made me, like, wince inside.
Yeah, right. It just kind of made me get, like, chills a little bit. Right, like, for sure. Made me feel, like, numb there for a second.
Right, I'm like, ooh, I don't like
that. So, after this, Ed and Lorraine Warren took the doll home to the occult museum at their house in Connecticut for safekeeping of the doll. And on the drive home, guess what? Annabelle was up to no good. She was misbehaving, messing with their brakes.
Oh, shit.
And so they were like, do we take the highway? Do we not take the highway?
Yeah, I feel like if your brakes aren't working, that you don't take the highway.
Yeah, but the back roads are also not good because they could have ran right into a tree.
Yeah, I feel like that's when you stop and...
do something about it?
Yeah. Well, you stop...
throw it out of the car.
You throw that doll out of the car.
Right.
Or you find some gasoline and you light that doll on fire. Or outside salt. Of the car. Yeah.
Either way.
Something.
Yeah.
That's gotta go.
So they claimed that their brakes were stalling out several times and, like, malfunctioning. And then Ed doused the doll with holy water and then she stopped messing with the brakes.
Of course she did.
Yeah. But it's funny. They had her, like, in a seatbelt in the back seat as if she was, like, a 7-year-old little girl.
Yeah.
It's like, make up your mind.
Right.
Is she a demon or is she a 7-year-old little girl, Warren?
Right. And they're then encouraging the lifelike behavior or whatever. Like how they said that that the girls like encouraged it by being sympathetic. If they freaking put a seatbelt on her in the back seat, like she's a human, they're also encouraging it.
Right.
So what you do is you put that doll, if you're going to take it, which I would never take it, but if you're going to choose to take that doll,
right,
you have a 55-gallon drum in the back trunk of your car or something, and you put that doll in that drum, and you seal it.
Yeah.
For your protection.
In gasoline. Just in case.
And salt.
And salt. So, when they got home, they placed her in a specific chair, and then she just kept levitating in the chair.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either. It's like, hey, Annabelle, what you doing? She's just moving up and down off the chair, like, ugh.
And you gotta assume she's not gassy.
Yeah, right? So, then they would leave the house, and just like before, the doll would just move from room to room, doors shut, legs in a different position, still levitating, still being a little weirdo.
Right? Super weird.
So, awful. With the help of another priest, they locked the doll in its own box, handmade for the doll, that reads, "Warning, positively do not open." And fun fact about the box, there's also a hand-carved inscription of the Lord's Prayer in the case.
Just to case or on it?
In the case, like on the inside where she's at.
Oh, yeah, that's super smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely something I wouldn't have thought of.
Right.
Okay. Probably also wouldn't have called in the Catholic Church to help me.
Right.
I probably would have burned it.
Yeah.
Which probably would have left me about dead.
Well,
from the doll.
Also, you wouldn't have this story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah, so they did that, and then while Ed was still alive, he passed away in the 2000s, the early 2000s, I believe. He would periodically say a prayer, a binding prayer, to make sure that the evil spirit and the doll were always locked and trapped within the cage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scary. I just called it a cage. It's a case, but I feel like it's caging the devil in.
Yeah, it's fine. I was picking up what you were putting down.
Yeah, right. So, many people mocked the authenticity of Ed and Lorraine's story and the story about Annabelle being true, that it's a demon within this cute little Raggedy Ann doll, right?
Right.
So, many priests would come to visit and poke fun at the doll and taunt it. And
priests would do it?
Priests would do it.
Why?
That's the question.
I know, because they don't believe it, but yeah. I mean.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that all of these priests are lucky to have walked away with their lives, considering several of them faced near-death experiences.
Yeah, do tell.
Yeah. So, one priest in particular said, "You can't do anything. You're nothing but a doll," to Annabelle. And then Ed kicked him out, and Lorraine said, "Get home safely," begged him to give her a buzz when he got home, when he made it home safely. Yeah, well, at this point, he called from the hospital because he nearly died from a car accident. Like, a car was totaled, like, another near-death experience. And then he attributed that to Annabelle.
Well, yeah, I totally would, too.
Yeah, I absolutely would, too. Like, obviously, he didn't listen to Ed and Lorraine's words.
Right.
It's like, no matter your depths of believing or not believing, when somebody tells you, don't talk smack to it, I don't know, I just, like, maybe wouldn't talk smack to it.
Well, and why would they invite people over to talk smack to it? Like,
it's they have an occult museum.
Well, but, okay, so why are priests going to an occult museum?
That's the question.
Yeah, that is a question.
Yeah. Maybe we could get a priest on here for an interview.
Probably not, but okay.
Probably not. Yeah, you're right. Probably not. But it was just a thought that I was just putting out there.
Right.
Saving it for later. If any priests are listening and want to get on the show, why are you listening? But hit us up.
Yeah, and, like, I don't know. Okay, whatever. Priest heckling a doll. Okay, like a bad comedy show.
Yeah.
Okay,
Gotcha. Yeah, basically.
Right.
Not a good idea.
No.
I wouldn't do it.
No.
No. I'm not a priest, but I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, priest or no priest, just me by myself, not priesty, I would not do that.
So, another visitor taunted Annabelle and said it was silly how people believed in her. And on his motorcycle ride home with his girlfriend on his back, they crashed into a tree. He died on impact instantly. And the girlfriend just barely walked away. Like, hardly. She barely survived.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
So, none of these stories have ever been corroborated, right? Like how I said that we'd circle back around to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Donna, Angie, Lou, the priest who was in the car accident, the motorcyclist girlfriend, Father Hegan, nor Father Cook have ever come forward with their story about Annabelle.
Hmm.
Never.
So then where do you find the information?
Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Oh, so all the information came from the Warrens. Gotcha.
Yeah, but I mean other people journaled about it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because like if somebody tells you that story, you're definitely going to probably want to not... I wouldn't want to put it on paper, but, you know, people sometimes journal to get their feelings out and stuff. Maybe that's a feeling they want to get out. Journal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd actually be interested to know. I know that Lorraine had parts in making a few of the films while she was still alive. I believe she passed away in either 2017 or 2019. She passed away one of those years.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the first Annabelle film, I believe it came out in the late 2000s, early top of the 2010s. So she had parts in making all of these films. Yeah. I don't know why she would want to mess with that either. Like, mess with bringing these films to life.
Right.
Like, these stories.
Well, because that's money in Hollywood and...
Right.
People like scary stuff.
They do like scary stuff.
We like scary stuff.
I remember reading a few years ago that there was somebody just went spreading drama on the internet, spreading gossip.
Weird.
On social media. Do that. That Annabelle escaped the cage.
Ooh. The box.
The box. The case. Yeah. I just want to call it a cage because I'm like, haha, you're trapped.
No kidding.
Yeah. Case, I think of like a bookshelf.
Right.
But, yeah, so she escaped the case, but she didn't really. So, the Warren's son-in-law now runs the occult museum,
mm-hmm.
and he took a video of himself standing in front of the Annabelle case and was like, put your rumors to bed, put your rumors to sleep. She didn't ever escape. This never happened. You guys are idiots. She's not getting out of here.
Right.
No worries, even though half of you don't believe.
Right. Do you have to recharge it? Like, recharge the prayer, recharge the...
Oh, I'm sure. That's what they were saying.
The binding spell or whatever.
That Ed used to do it periodically. Say the binding prayer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that he used to periodically just go stand over the case and say the Lord's Prayer, say another binding prayer ever so often just to, you know. I mean, I'm sure that they knew in the back of their minds that, like, with the Lord's Prayer and with their being sealed in there with the priest and all of those things... That, I mean, unless some stupid person decided to open it one day, that otherwise, like, the demonic force wasn't getting out. The doll wasn't getting out of the case.
Right.
But I think it was just, like, to make yourself feel better about it, to make himself feel better about the situation that he did it, I'm sure.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I would, too.
I'd be doing it every fucking day.
Yeah, I would, too. I would, too. Sure. I mean, I may be a little bit lazy sometimes. But I'm not letting a demon out of its cage.
Right.
I can tell you that much.
Right. Procrastination Nation over there would not procrastinate on the binding spell.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely not.
Right.
That would not happen, nor would my momager let it happen.
Right. You go bind that bind spell right now.
Right. Go say the prayer.
Right.
Go cast the prayer.
Right. Keep that fucking doll in its
case. Recite it as often as possible.
Right.
Yeah, but that's our case on Annabelle. What do you think about it, Mom?
Good job. Good job, Daff.
Thanks.
I think you did a great job.
You know we're still on air.
Yep, I'm riveted. I was riveted. And literally the back of my hair on the back of my neck stood up.
I told you this would be a good one.
Yeah,
Super. There were several avenues that I could have taken with this case. Eventually, we'll talk about the Warrens, get into them. This podcast is going to be all things spooky, weird, creepy. I don't know, maybe disturbing.
Things that are disturbing. That's disturbing.
Yeah, that's disturbing.
Thank you,
some
guys.
Hopefully murder mayhem.
Thank you, guys. Hopefully you're enjoying listening to us, and you'll keep listening, and we'll get some followers.
Yeah, stay safe.
Right.
If, you know, a doll is trying to communicate with you and tell you that she's a 7-year-old, I don't know, just don't do anything with it. Call the Warrens. Call, I think his name is Tony. Tony Warren. Or, I don't know, Zach Bagans. There's all kinds of people out there like that now that will,
yeah,
that will take that off your hands and then display it for money.
Right. That's
fair. Come see this haunted Raggedy Ann doll.
Right.
Let's make a
profit.
For the
low, low price of $29.95.
Right. Some P.T. Barnum kind of stuff.
Right.
But, all right. Thanks, you guys. Follow us. We do have a Gmail already. It's thatsdisturbingpodcast@gmail.com. Website, Instagram, Twitter, all the socials, all to come one day. But, you know, this is episode one, so keep you posted.
Right, we're working on it.
All right, y'all. Peace in the Middle East. Stay safe out there.